Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Hello, this is Sandra Beam and
Desiree Scales
here with High Velocity Business Radio. How are you doing, Desiree?
Good. How are you, Sander?
I'm fantastic. It seems like it's been years since we've seen each other.
I know. It really has. It's been a long time, but here we are back in the saddle again. And then vacation.
That's
right. So you're
right.
Not going to see me for like 3 weeks.
I know. Desiree's going to be on vacation, everybody, so get ready.
I'll be doing the hula in Hawaii.
I know. I'm jealous. I'm super jealous.
Are you going anywhere on vacation this summer?
I think we're going to go out to the mountains at the end of June, but nothing like your trip. I really could use some time in Hawaii, but nonetheless, someone's got to stay here and run things.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, well, we've got a great guest today.
Yeah, who do we have in the studio with us?
Jason Jones, Mass Mutual, and he actually works with me on my financial planning. So I asked him to be on the show and share some of his wisdom with the listeners on financial planning. Not only personal financial planning, but around the business as well, because they kind of intertwine, right, Jason?
They sure do.
Yeah. Thanks
for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And why don't you give us a little bit of a scenario? What exactly do you do?
What do I do? You know, I always tell people I do a form of financial planning. You know, I talk with people about what to do with your money. I always tell people you've got to spend some of your money, you've got to save some of your money, you've got to invest some of your money, and you also have got to give some of your money. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do with individuals and business owners every day.
Yeah. So, we've go back a long, long time. We've known each other a long time. And it's interesting because I think of where I was back then, knowing and understanding how financial markets work, how all of this works, life insurance, all of it. And, you know, I've really learned a lot from you. And that's what I really enjoy about working with you is you're very educational. You make sure that the client understands, you know, what's going on.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So why do you do what you do? That's always my favorite question. Why have you decided to do this?
You know, I started in this business 19 years ago, right out of college. And, when it came to, I knew I wanted to get into sales. I knew I wanted to kind of control my own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And and finance has just always, it just intrigued me, maybe trying to make money intrigued me right out of college because, you know, when you come out of college, you don't have a lot of money and you definitely want to go start making a living.
Right.
And that was something I also wanted to help people and help people, make smart choices with their money.
Right. Exactly.
So, Jason, you say you've been doing this for 19 years.
Yeah.
So you've seen a lot of changes, probably not only in Desiree. I mean, she's looking better and better probably every year.
Thanks,
like,
Sandra. But,
like why?
Exactly. But also in the financial market. So tell us, how has this changed? How has doing business as a financial planner changed over the years with all the changes we've seen in the markets and everything else?
Yeah. I mean, it's... I always kind of say that, the stock market's going to go up and the stock market's going to go down. And, you had the run up in the late 90s with the technology boom. And then you had the early 2000s and the real estate market going up and then the real estate market going down. And so there's just constant change. And, one of the things that I don't focus on with my clients is where's the market going? Mm. I don't know that. I don't know where the economy's going. I'll let other people guess right or wrong to that. But the main thing is just making sure that, you've got your money in the right places. And there's no one place, there's no one product that's going to go, do it for you. It's just of all the different, it's gotten a lot more sophisticated now than back in the mid-90s when I got into the business.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. It seems like you go through periods where you see people out there touting the get rich quick kind of models. And you would think that after what we've been through the last few years or maybe decade at this point, that people wouldn't be doing that anymore. But you still see some of that out there, which is amazing. So it's good to see consummate professionals, people who have been in this business for quite a while doing this.
So why should people work with a financial planner instead of doing this on their own? Because with the internet, we've got all kinds of resources, and I think a lot of people think that they can do it themselves. What's the benefit of working with Jason Jones?
Well, and I think the benefit of working with myself, working with a qualified, you know, financial professional is, I think everyone always thinks that they can do it themselves. And, you know, I'm not a handyman at all. And I'm sure I can, you know, go try to do something myself, but I know what I can do and what I can't do. And so when it comes to, you know, I'd say when it comes to making financial decisions, there might be some people out there that have the time and the knowledge. And I mean, everyone's got information, so information's everywhere. But, you know, if you've got the time and the knowledge, maybe you can go do it yourself. But I always find that my clients don't have the time. They don't want to necessarily go find the knowledge, or they want to, you know, use that knowledge from a financial professional that does it, you know, I say 24 hours a day, but I do take a couple of hours off to go to bed. But, you know, I think about this, you know, 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. And most people don't do that. Most people just kind of haphazardly, oh, I've got to go make this financial decision. And necessarily go do it.
Yeah, exactly. So, what do you think the top three things people should do to, you know, if somebody's new at this and they don't hire a financial planner, or they don't really have a portfolio, what are the top three steps that they can take to become a little more financially stable?
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. I was, something came across my desk this morning that there are $1.25 trillion outstanding in student debt.
Wow.
$1.25 trillion. So a lot of people are graduating from school, and a lot of that number is from graduate school, but they're graduating with debt. And then they're trying to figure out, okay, well, you know, where do I get started? And, so a lot of times it's not necessarily, you know, start to put money in your 401k that, you know, you're not going to have access to for another 40 years or so.
Right.
I think there's a lot of things that you need to kind of, you've got to address debt, and we've got to, you know, there's good debt and there's bad debt, and you've got to have a game plan of how are you going to address that?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it all in one fell swoop. You know, but the biggest thing that I tell my clients that I start working with is make sure you get the proper amount of protection, you know, and that's where insurance products come into play. You're young, you're healthy. You're a perfect candidate for insurance. Get it while you're young. And I always have the saying, you know, Noah didn't build the ark when it was raining, you know, so try to plan ahead. Build up some cash, build up some liquidity. You know, what I found in the 2008 market, when all of a sudden, you know, credit started to freeze up, and, you know, if you don't have cash, you don't have liquidity, you're in trouble. You're becoming a seller. And, you know, a lot of times you're selling assets at reduced, you know, values. So it's having the proper amount of protection. It's making sure you've got enough liquidity and money in the bank, just, you know, can't be invested in the market. And then make sure that you're saving at least 15% of your gross income.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get used to that. And I always kind of tell people, you know, go spend 85% of your money, but go save the other. You know, go give me the 15%. Let's figure out where to go put that money.
Yeah.
And those are kind of good stepping stones to then, as you evolve, as you start to, you know, progress in your career and making more money or other things that come on, you know, it's kind of, you're keeping all those things in mind along the way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So what are some of the common mistakes that people do make along the way? I mean, just are those common mistakes that are out there?
You know, I think a lot of times, I think the biggest thing that I find is people have very little money in cash. I really think that most people are saving money for the long term, which is fine. But I think it's important. It's like your financial home. You've got to start in the foundation and then build your way up. And it's making sure that you've got that proper amount of, you know, cash in the bank. It's making sure that you know, you're not living beyond your means, you know. And, hey, our economy is built upon consumption. That's what drives our gross domestic product. And I told you I'm not an economist, but – you know, that's the biggest thing is, you know, consumption and, right. and overconsumption.
Right. You know, I heard a scary statistic the other day, and it was something like 60% of Americans could not get their hands on $2,000 of cash if they had to. 60%. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that goes right to your point of putting cash away, you know, a savings account, people. They still exist.
Yeah, my grandmother used to say, always have money for a rainy day.
That's right.
You know, and hey, guess what? It's gonna rain. It's rained in the past.
Yeah.
It's gonna rain in the future. Right now, the stock market is the S&P is at an close to an all time high. And so people feel good about that, but
it'll
also,
correct. Yeah, it's gonna correct.
They'll five, six years ago. We all have short memories. So have that cash and, and then just make sure that when it comes to working with a financial advisor is talk with them, meet with them, you know, find out, you know, where you need to be saving the money that you're saving.
Jason's got a great program, Sander, where he will actually plug in all your numbers and you can see, you know, where everything is. It gives you a really good picture of, you know, of where you're at. And Mass Mutual also has a program, right? Where people can do that online.
Yeah, we've got some, you know, I think for me, my focus is very much, you know, on the comprehensive kind of planning side where taking a look at everything and not just kind of focusing, you know, one area at a time. You know, I think most people make financial decisions. I always say most people make financial decisions one at a time, at different times, with different advisors, under different economic circumstances.
Yeah.
And it's tough to do.
You're taking more of a holistic, a long-term approach.
Absolutely. Long-term, but also short-term as well. Don't just do long-term planning. You know, build some intermediate-term planning, some short-term planning. But I think more importantly is start in the short-term and build out instead of starting long-term and trying to build your way back in. You know, I don't know what the number is, but the loans that are on 401k plans are probably just as staggering as the student debt number that I just talked about.
Right.
Why is that? Well, when an emergency comes up and you don't have cash, you go raid your 401k plan.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the best place to go access your money. Is it available? Yes. Can you get it, with some tax minimal consequences? Sure. But it's not necessarily the most efficient place to do that.
So, you know, you're sitting here talking to two business owners. Now, I'm new in this, and Desiree, of course, has owned a business for quite a long time. How do you advise people in the who own businesses, and how does that differ? What sorts of things are they asking about? What sorts of things do you advise there? And also, hopefully this isn't too many questions. How do you treat somebody who's new in business like myself versus someone who's been in it a long time like Desiree? How do those things differ in your mind?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times I don't think it differs that much if I'm talking to you as a business owner or talking to you as an individual, because yes, you are a business owner, but you also are, you know, you're also an individual, you know, investor as well. And so, you know, besides the fact that maybe a lot of your cash, a lot of your resources are staying within the business, there are still strategies that you want to be thinking about maybe investing outside of your business. I think a lot of times I find business owners really just invest just solely in their business, and that might be a great place to invest, but we don't want to necessarily put all your money into that area. So I don't think that there's necessarily a book for business owners and a book for individual investors. I think the concepts and the strategies are one and of the same. Mm-hmm. It's just a kind of a maybe how you go about doing that, maybe using corporate dollars to help the personal side of Sanders Enterprises. Mm-hmm. So
that makes a lot of sense. You know, I think it's like you said, if there was an individual who wasn't a business owner and they were saying, hey, I want to do a lot of investing in one place, you may say, hey, you want to think about this. But I think we get blinded as business owners at how much we invest into what we do, Desiree.
Yeah.
It's helpful to have a third party or second party, for that matter, looking
right,
at it.
Right. And I don't think that people take enough. You know, you said 15%. That goes for business owners, too. I mean, that's your income, and you should be taking some out and putting it away. you know, definitely made it a priority to do that every year.
Yeah.
You know, into our 401k and, you know, everything that it really, really, it adds up quick. You don't realize it. And then what, 16 years later, you're looking at it, you're like, wow, this feels good, you know?
Yeah. We need time. We need money. Yeah,
exactly.
So that's how we grow our money.
Right.
Well, this is inspirational for me because I'm in my first year of business and I've been thinking, okay, I'm just going to take a break from the 401k this year. But now you got me thinking otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's multiple things. Instead of, you know, it's not necessarily everything going into your 401k, and it's also not everything going into cash either.
Right.
You know, there's a balance between the two. And you know, that's where it works, you know, to you know, talk with an advisor and,
right.
and you know, go
plug in the numbers and see where you're at because yeah. you want every, it's like a balance sheet. You want it to be balanced as much as possible.
Absolutely.
So that's where I think you bring the wisdom to the table and that we look at all these things and you're like, okay, this bucket needs a little more, this maybe a little less. So you're looking at the whole picture instead of just one item.
But yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's great. I really enjoy that.
Well, good. So. I do as well.
Okay. So is it ever too late? Could anyone ever be too old or is it too late to get the financial picture back in order? You know, if somebody doesn't have a 401k and they're 50, I don't know if that would happen, but is it ever too late to start investing?
No, I think that's kind of an excuse okay. that people use. Mm-hmm. You know, and in my 19 years, I've truly heard it all, but you know, we don't get to decide. I know a lot of times people say, you know what, I don't need to go save. I'm going to, you know, I'm never going to stop working. But sometimes we don't get to dictate that
right.
As mm-hmm. much as we'd like to think that we're in control of, as I mentioned at the beginning, the control of my own destiny. Sometimes that's not in our cards. So absolutely, you know, and it's interesting when I talk to those 60-year-old clients that say, boy, I wish I'd have done it when I was 50 and 40. And, you know, and I'm trying to tell my 40 and my 30-year-old clients, you know, I wish I could come and bring in my 60-year-old
right.
client.
You know, yeah.
And I always tell my clients, you know, I've had the luxury of retiring 300 or 400 times through my clients. So I get to see, you know, where they are in their life.
Yeah.
And the ones that, yeah, that maybe started late and didn't think that they were going to be in the position that they were in. You know, you can roll the dice and kind of, you know, go on that plan.
Right.
But if that plan backfires, you know, what's your backup plan?
Right.
You know, and whether you're 50 or 55 or 60, you know, you do need a plan.
Right.
You know, if you don't have a plan, then I always say you've got the government's plan.
Yeah, right.
Who knows? I'm not sure I want that one.
Yeah, I know.
What about the other side of the spectrum? So too young, like, I mean, you know, obviously there are people that are too young to be thinking about this. But once you get into it, become a professional, you're out of college, you're done with school. Is that the time to start doing financial planning in your mind?
Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, you know, we all have, not to get too deep on this show, but we all have one exponential curve, right? You know, we start saving and graduating and at 22, 23, 25, and we all have one curve to get to retirement. Depending upon when you want to start that, and I think the people that are graduating now, you know, they have, a lot of them sometimes have more issues to be thinking about than maybe we did, you know, 20, 30 years or so ago. You know, there's debt. How do I balance debt with saving money? You know, where should I be saving money? I've got to, you know, put a money down for a house
right.
and car, all these other things.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think it's ever too late or ever too early
yeah.
to start saving. It's just, where do you begin?
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, the internet can give you some great information, but it can also lead you to the point of, you know what, I guess I'll start next week, you know.
It's too complicated.
Next Monday, I'm going to get started.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 52 Mondays later, you're still where you were.
Right. It's never too early to start saving. My girls, they have savings accounts and, you know, they get a thrill. I mean, whenever they get money for gifts, we take half and put it in the savings account and then the other half that they can spend, you know, and that's what they've known. I've had a savings account probably since I was, well, I don't know, 10 or 11, you know, so I've always understood the value of money. And I, you know, it's just something that I think everyone should be knowledgeable of. I'm just going to say this. I know I'm in a room full of men, but I think that women also give their power away to their husbands or, you know, significant others a lot of times, and they don't make the effort to learn about finance and how it works. And I think that's a big mistake. I know I've done it, and I've learned a lot, you know, myself. And if I could encourage women out there to really understand how 401ks work and stock markets and everything, please go do that. You know, and Jason, you've been great in teaching me. That's another thing that I really, you know, appreciate about you is that you always had great conversations with me and made sure I understood what was going on. And
yeah, so. No, you know, I always say my first client in my business was my dad, and my first death claim in the business was my dad.
Wow.
And I remember 12 years ago, and my dad was that person that took care of everything. My mom didn't really have to worry about that too much. Whenever my dad and I would sit down and talk business, my mom would kind of walk out the door and, okay, y'all, you know, see y'all later.
Right.
Well, you know, when my dad passed, all of a sudden, my mom, she was forced to. Mm-hmm. And so, absolutely, Desiree, I mean, this is not, you know, financial decision making is not made by one person in the family. It's not made by the head of the household. It's, you know, it's a family decision.
Right.
And, you know, I always tell the men out there that, well, I handle all the financial decisions. I'm almost telling you, you know, you're doing more harm than good to your spouse, because one day you're not going to be there. Chances are she's going to outlive you, and, you know, she's going to be stuck making all these financial decisions. So let's bring her in the mix now.
Right, so. Right.
But when you work with clients, I mean, obviously, even when you're working with a family unit, a husband and wife, what do you see? What's going on out there? Are there more people that are coming together to these planning sessions versus what you saw 19 years ago? Was it more just oftentimes one or the other being there?
Yeah, I think in the past there was probably one or the other. And now I'm finding, you know, husbands and wives both coming together, especially the financial collapse of in 2008.
Yeah.
You know, now I have couples that are coming in together and saying, you know what, we've got to do things differently.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, it's almost like a, you know, marriage financial counseling class.
Right.
It's not a financial planning. It's, you know, I find myself being a financial therapist, so that, you know, the wives can get to express their feelings and the you know, husbands get to hear, you know, what's going on.
And everyone knows how to access the account, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They're clear
exactly
on it.
Right.
So, what's going on?
That's good.
I did. And I don't like meeting with just, you know, I like to find out who the decision makers are. If they make financial decisions together, then, you know what, let's wait and meet together, because there's no point on you and I having a conversation, Jack, while, you know, your wife's not here, because she needs to be a part of that.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's really important. So how can we find you and more information about you out there?
Well, you can go to my website.
Okay.
My website is www.finstratsolutions.com. Finstratsolutions.com.
Perfect.
So
all your information's there.
My information's there. If anyone has any questions, they, you know, I think the main thing in all this is it's educating, and it's, you know, giving people enough information for them to make intelligent decisions about their money.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
You know, so this has been a blast. I appreciate you having me on the
show. Yeah. Thanks for your time. Really great to have you. So thanks, Jason. All right. Well, for High Velocity Radio, Business Radio X, this is Desiree Scales and
Sandra Bean.
Have a great week.